Pulling the swing tech show.
Hey, hey, everybody. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and all you techophiles out there throughout the world. Welcome to the November 26th edition of the Linux Link Tech Show. My name is Dan, and before we get started, we're going to play our usual promo, because I know you're all excited to hear that. So if you're not connected to the chat, get connected to the chat. And here's our promo.
Hi folks, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by putting your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hey, hey, Dan cutting in here. Do you have any questions, comments, complaints? Don't like what Alan said last time? Feel free to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Do you live in or around Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Plan on being in the area some Wednesday night? If so, and you would like to join us in the studio, we would love to have you. Again, email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. Linux is a community project. Being a community project, it tends to foster regular gatherings of Linux enthusiasts who collectively call themselves Linux users groups. Chances are, there is a Linux users group in your area. We here at the Tech Show belong to the Lehigh Valley Linux users group, so if you hail from the area, come join us. Membership is free and fraught with fun. If you're new to Linux, then consider checking out our sister organization, the Linux Special Interest Group, run by LVLUG member Jeff Sartler. The Linux SIG caters to newbies and runs hands-on labs. If you are south of us, be sure to look up the Bucks County Linux Users Group or the Philadelphia Linux Users Group. Those to the east, there's the New Jersey Linux Users Group. More information can be found at thelinuxlink.net, which strives to be the unofficial portal of Linux and Linux happenings in the Lehigh Valley. If you find yourself in one of those rare locations that is not conveniently near any Linux users group, get your name and desires out there on the web. Contact the closest lugs, and chances are you will find neighbors who are looking to get together. All you need is a few enthusiastic people and a place to meet, be it a living room, basement, library, or local pub. You will meet new people, learn some stuff, and have boatloads of fun. So remember, support your local users groups. Finally, we here at the Linux Link Tech Show thank you for listening and hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together. Welcome back from our extended promo. And right now, we have a brand new promo that's going to run 15 minutes. Right into our intermission song, and when we come back...
Followed by a 25-minute promo.
I didn't introduce you yet.
Sorry.
Oh, that was Alan, by the way, co-hosting tonight. Link is in New York, I believe. What's the topics for tonight? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. We make them up as we go along. No, we really have some topics for tonight. where we'll start things off with me letting Alan again say hello.
Hello, all. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Back to you.
Boy, that was...
it's a quick one tonight.
That was nice, short and sweet. But not mushmouth, if you notice. Not mushmouth at all. Yeah. All right. It's November 26th, the eve of the United States, one of the United States' most popular holidays, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And I say the United States because other people in the world might be listening and they may not celebrate Thanksgiving with the rest of us. So, happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there listening from the United States. And happy whatever to everybody else. Alan, we're going to roll right into some topics tonight.
Cool.
I have a lot to be thankful today, and I have a really sad thing and a disappointment that happened today that I'm not too thankful for. We had a wonderful employee at work who is now, today was his last day, and he won't be with us except on a part-time fill-in basis in the future, which is very unfortunate. His name is Jeremy Morey. He is a graduate of Southern Lehigh High School, class of 2003. So he graduated last year, about 2 years ago, in Jeremy's end of his sophomore year into the junior year. That summer, he interned with our department and did a really great job. And he was able to intern again this past summer. And because someone left our department in the summer, he was able to stay on for a couple of months until they hired somebody new. Now, he's about 18 years old, and he's really, really proven himself at work. He did a phenomenal job. He's one of those rare people that if he doesn't have an answer or doesn't know how to solve a problem, he does not hesitate to seek help.
Those are really hard to find a lot of times anymore.
Yeah, and he was an incredible asset. He had incredible social skills for a kid of 18, particularly working with the school's teachers and everybody else. In our department, he's fun to be around, pleasant guy, but today was his last day. We tried so hard to keep him on. The only reason why he didn't get...
Does he left or was he...
No, he... They put out the position that the guy left, a tech position for hire, and basically the only thing that prevented him from getting the position was his lack of experience. When compared to the person that they hired, who's a wonderful person, Joelle Walters, I believe is her name, wonderful person, really great credentials, is started yesterday and is fitting right in. Does a phenomenal job. But she has a couple years' experience on him, obviously. Yeah. A significant amount of experience. So that's the big difference. And experience counts for a lot, unfortunately. Plus, they found it hard to justify the salary of $36,000 for an 18-year-old kid right out of high school.
Yeah.
We really wished and tried that they can keep him on as a lower-paid position. Unfortunately, that didn't pan out. And we're kind of hoping that next year, as the budget rolls around, maybe we can fit him in or something. But if anybody out there knows of any introductory-level tech positions, I mean, he could squeeze right in there and fulfill even middle-level tech positions. He's got some Novell experience, Windows, obviously Windows experience.
Poor guy.
He even has some Apple experience and Linux experience. He's been running Red Hat 9. He's used the Nopix distribution quite frequently at work. And hopefully he'll be showing up at our next Linux meeting if he can get off of his other job as a dishwasher, which has nothing to do with tech.
He's a technical dishwasher.
Yeah, technical dishwasher. But phenomenal guy. Jeremy, if you're listening, I know you're not listening live, but if you download a copy of this, man, I'm going to really miss you. Please come by. Keep in touch. We love you. And sad to see you go.
He's not listening live because he's dishwashing right now, or?
Yeah, he might be dishwashing right now. But to hell with him now. On to something else.
Something else.
On to more pleasant things, Alan. Alan, how's your week been?
Hell.
Good.
Just tell. We had a hot job that just had to go out by today, and so it's been massive overtime, unfortunately. So,
hot job isn't like the hot job of the emails that I get? Triple X hot jobs?
No. It was a mass set that had to go out from one of our satellite facilities. And they screwed up their schedule, of course, as always, and shipped it to us late, so we had to do 3 days worth of work in about two. Actually, one and a half. But so it's been one of those weeks so far, but thankfully tomorrow is no work, and neither for Friday. So looking forward to the four-day weekend.
Excellent. I have a five-day weekend.
No Monday, huh?
No Monday. Triple X Allen.
Now we're supposed to keep those clean during the war.
Now, see, Link brought up the blog war stuff. And if any of you have been checking out our blogs, I hope you enjoy them. Allen, going with the Battlestar Galactica theme?
Yeah, I have the box set at home.
The box set. I really like those pictures. And Link following in suit, and then me going with the Army of Darkness theme.
I love my head on top of the skeleton down there in the bottom.
And your tongue. I couldn't stop laughing when I put Link's head on that female's body. It merged very well, too.
You were working hard on that one.
Yeah. I was laughing and working and having a great time. Now, we put that out there for the Lug to participate, if anybody be interested in putting up a blog. And I even offered to host the blog. Whoa, there goes my phone. But unfortunately, nobody has taken up the challenge. Or I haven't heard
it's
nothing.
Sad, because there's nothing more than a really good excuse to play with a GIMP.
Right.
On it.
But again, it's another sad state of the LV Lug and lack of participation, I guess. I mean, the Lug members are great people, but we're racking our brains trying to figure out how to get people involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rules are very simple. Maybe hit up on the rules.
It's a very simple rule. Yeah, no pornography. Don't put Alan's head on a naked woman's body or a naked man's body. Yeah, naked dog's fine.
No, not really.
Yeah, no using family members, just the people.
No Photoshop.
No Photoshop. You know, we ask that you use the GIMP, Soddy Potty, Open Office, whatever, anything that runs on Linux. Not Photoshop running through Wine on Linux. Then stick with open source tools. And that if you're going to participate, you have to make available for download a picture of yourself, or a couple of pictures of yourself. At least a head. We need a head.
We need front and left and right.
Yeah,
front or left at least front and left, front and left side view.
And if you don't have pictures of yourself, come on by and we'll take a picture of you.
Come to the meeting, yes.
Yes, come to the meeting. We have a meeting in 2 weeks, actually, at Moravian College.
Is it going to be there?
Yes, it is going to be there.
Regular place now?
I don't know if it's going to be a regular place. We'll probably go back to Software Consulting Services, Newspaper Systems up in Nazareth. We have that place, and I don't want to burn that bridge. I don't think we would. It's a nice place to meet up there. But speaking of that, we might actually be having a guest speaker.
Oh, that's cool.
His name is Doug Edline. That's Edline. And he is an editor of a newly released magazine called Cluster World. That it's a magazine about Linux cluster computing. Now, it's published by the same people that publish Linux Magazine. And what's cool is Doug actually lives in Allentown from Allentown. So hopefully he'll be coming by our meeting, be able to talk to us about Linux Cluster World, and he'll also be bringing by some copies. So that's exciting news.
Yeah, that's good. We haven't had a speaker in a long time. An outside speaker.
Yeah, an outside speaker. That's right.
you and Link have been speaking all the time, but...
And maybe Randy Kramer doing his wiki presentation. I'll have to remind him of that. He did say he would do something, and, you know, he's big into the wikis. So that's really cool. Now, I want to, before I continue on, because I'm looking at my email over here, and I want to bring up a correction of last week. A question was asked about Slackware's package manager and whether it checks for dependencies. And I want to add that by default, Slackware package manager doesn't check for dependencies, but if you use Swaret to keep your system updated, there's an option in there to report dependencies, and it will report if you fail a dependency.
Now, will it go out and get that package if it's in there, or?
It depends on how you have it set up.
Okay.
Now, if you have it set up to update your system, typically you're not going to get a failed package dependency. But if you're only updating specific files, it will tell you need to grab these files also to fulfill dependencies. Now, you have to go into the Swaret.com file and enable dependency checking.
All right.
And you had talked to me about whether it installs patches and updates.
Yeah. That's
and again, in the Swaret.com file, you can choose to download upgraded packages, newer packages, and there's options in there for patches. It's basically it's changing a 0 to a 1 or a 1 to a 0.
Yeah, I read through their file, and I didn't, like I said, I didn't play around with it a whole lot because it's on an older machine, and I just got Swaret installed on it over the weekend, but I wasn't sure whether it did that, you know, out of the box or if that's something we have to enable to get the patches and stuff.
Yeah, I believe you do. For the patches, it basically doesn't download patches, but just basic packages. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have to set it up for the version that you want. By default, I believe it goes to current,
mm-hmm.
So you'd want to change. If you just want to stick with 9.1, you'd want to change current to 9.1.
Okay.
It's like any of the other managers out there that you do have to do a little bit of configuration. It's not hard. It's really simple. Just that one file, and you'll be good to go. Now, if you set it up as a cron job, which I do on both the laptop and my main workstation, and I have them both going for current because I really like living on the bleeding edge, you're going to want to keep an eye out on your log files for the Swaret log file in case you would have a failed dependency. You want to be aware of what's going on there. Got it?
Got it.
So I just wanted to update you on that. Because it's important. It is important. Alan, I'll let you talk for a minute.
God, I have nothing to say. This has been a tough week. Like I said, I haven't prepared at all. I did get something interesting in the mail today. And Linux World sends me email once a month or so, something like that, on it. And they're saying they have a source that claims that SCO will sue Google. So I guess that's going to be their next attack at. And it just goes on to say, you know, how much it would be worth to them, about $7 million at the rate that SCO wants the money for their licenses. It would be worth about $7 million to them. But I love the last line in the article. Said, meanwhile, industrial wags are saying that God invented SCO to give people a company to hate more than Microsoft. And I just happen to really like that saying at the end. I thought that was really good.
What site is that article on?
It's on linuxworld.com. And it's /story/38045.html.
So check that out.
Just HTML, excuse me.
HTM.
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 Yep, that's what
it is.
The
heck are they using to create their pages?
Have no clue. Guess we can look under source and maybe see.
Speaking of Linux World and Linux World Magazine, and of course Linux World is coming to New York City in February. And if you're a LUG member, or even if you're not a LUG member, but you live in the Lehigh Valley area, we're organizing a bus trip again. To head on up there on either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Hopefully Friday.
Well, Link wants Wednesday.
Get that extra day off for the weekend.
Anyway, they have another magazine out there called... crap. Is it Macromedia Developer? or MX Developer. It's for those of you who might use Macromedia products. It's basically a Macromedia magazine on par with the Linux World magazine. Interesting magazine. It's available, I know, at Wegmans in Bethlehem. I didn't get a chance to pick a copy up yet, but I would assume it's at Borders also.
Okay, yeah, they pretty much have everything. So Borders and Barnes & Noble usually have, between the two of them, they have just about all of the Linux magazines, I think.
Who, Borders?
Borders and yeah. Barnes & Noble.
I haven't been to Barnes & Noble in a long time. A long time.
Good coffee. I go up there on the weekends and get a cup of coffee. It's my evening, my Saturday night out, being the old married guy that I am. Ooh, the fun.
Right. I was just, while you were talking, trying to get a look at the chat server, see what's going on. Pat's talking about the camcorder.
His camcorder, yeah.
Our
Debian friends have checked in. And you were talking about the Soiree.
Yes.
The apt-get just works out of the box.
The apt-get just... I don't want to start another Debian Slackware controversy. Actually, I would really like to get Debian running on one of my machines. Unfortunately, I don't have a machine to run it on. And a couple of people are complaining that they're either getting stuttering or the stream's dropping, which is interesting because Link has a decent stream. And I don't see it overloading on the server end of things. We might be experiencing just general usage throughout the country. Maybe there's a lot of traffic going on out there. That's why you're getting a stuttering. If you are, you know, we apologize.
Close it and start it back up. That usually seems to help.
Yeah, hopefully when I get some money and move over to Speakeasy, some of those issues will be resolved. Speaking of Slackware, Alan, I built the Slackware giveaway system.
Yes,
Slackware
9.1. We're still waiting for a winner. Dan,
still
you can buy my laptop with Debian already installed.
Yeah, don't have $500. But we have the Slackware 9.1 system, latest patches, some extra software thrown on there, Soddy Potty, Cineleras on there, a couple other packages.
Free.
Yeah, it is free. It's all ready to go.
All you have to do is answer three questions we had.
Those three questions. Nobody's answered it yet. And if somebody's answered it, they haven't sent the email to the proper place as specified in the answer. Maybe I'll give another clue out at the end of the show. But if you're wondering what the questions are, download the last three archives. At least you'll increase.
We're making you work a little bit for this.
Yes,
one.
And if you don't want to listen,
the system is free, but we're making you work for it.
Yeah, if you don't want to listen to the entire show, go to the end because that's where the clues are. But at least it'll make our downloads look a little better.
No, not necessarily. The first clue is, I think, at the beginning, wasn't it? You have to listen to the whole show. It's just, it's a 3-hour time.
3 hours.
It's a 3-hour cruise, but you couldn't win a Linux system off of it.
Yeah. Well, maybe 4 hours now if you're listening to this and I give you another clue at the end of the show. Let me just make you suffer. Because pretty soon I'm just going to give up and use it myself. Because it's sitting over here, taking up space. I believe we do have some configurations. I was going to set up Window Maker and ICE Window Manager for customized menus based upon the software. Oh, yeah, OpenOffice 1.1 is on there. And I think Link's going to do XFCE. And Alan isn't going to do Jack.
I get to carry it around.
Spit. Yeah, he gets to carry it around. Alan will be the delivery boy. So if you're living out there in California, Alan, and you answer the questions, Alan's going to personally deliver it to you in his car.
Yeah, like I don't think I have a car that would make it to California.
But then he's going to rent a limo when he gets into your town and drive to your house with it. And he'll give you a ride around in a limo.
So we make it one of those, like, you know, extended Hummer limos.
There you go, an extended Hummer limo. And you can get in the Hummer and get a... No, we won't go there. That's not a good thing. Anyway, what time is it? Oh, it's almost time.
It's almost time for the fabulous new song that
we fabulous new song. And I didn't even set it up over here yet. The excitement mounts. But we have the Slackware System 9-1 over here. It's a Pentium 3 450. I think it's a 6 gigabyte hard drive. Unfortunately, only 64 megabytes of RAM. The video card in there is 8 megabytes, so it's not going to do any real 3D acceleration. You'd have to add your own cheap NVIDIA card or something that you can slap in there to get 3D acceleration.
This is the same type of box that we're running the show on.
Yeah, exact same type of box we're running the show
same
on.
Same type of box you're running the servers off of, isn't it? Or very, very
the
similar
server
to.
Off of. Yep. Exciting.
So it will work, man.
It'll work great. And everybody will be happy.
See, we have a request for Fluxbox on there as well. So,
Fluxbox is on there.
All right.
It is on there. I installed that, of course. Blackbox, Fluxbox, Icewind, Window Manager, Window Maker, XFCE, GNOME, KDE. Whatever happened to Enlightenment?
I don't think I've ever used it by itself. Wasn't it part of GNOME?
It used to be. Like Sawfish. You can use Sawfish, I think, by yourself. You can use Enlightenment by yourself. Chris Heaver was in Enlightenment for a while.
That's what I was trying to think of. On it. One with the posts I can never understand.
Yeah.
He goes off into, like, I don't know where he's going on half of his posts.
You know it's the weekend because you get, like, 5 or 6 posts from the Bailey
every day.
Chris.
It's like, oh, he must have gotten to a computer somewhere. Someone let him go.
Now, see, on the chat list, Mellophone and Link are bickering again. Always at odds with each other on their choice of software. Now, I'm wondering, is Mellophone an Emacs or a VI kind of guy? And if he's an Emacs kind of guy, then there's another chink in the Link armor there.
Well, if he's an Emacs guy, he has to show up at the meetings.
That's it.
Because we'll be hanging out with the Emacs crew down there.
That's it.
At Moravian.
The Emacs people. That's something Link can get his cockles up against. But such is the case. We're heading up to 9:30 now. We're going to play a nice little song for you. Who was it? Was this Einstein Breakfast, right?
That was
Einstein's
Breakfast.
Einstein's Breakfast. The song is called Windy Valley, The Air. I don't know how long it is. It's kind of a small download. But we're going to play that right now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy.
Oh, 8-bit? Twice? That's 16-bit.
Yeah, we gave you 16-bit there.
It was so good, we had to play it twice. Boy.
I guess really we should, like, listen to what we download first.
Yeah, Open Music Registry had that one pegged completely wrong. We downloaded
that. Was supposed to be a blues song.
Yeah. But it was a nice little ditty. It made me happy. It was jolly. And we figured you guys would enjoy it two times. Because it was so short, it wasn't even enough to go to the bathroom.
It was better than the speed metal or the...
The punk from last week.
Yeah, no, there was one... The one song we did, it sounded like, I can't remember what to do.
I could probably find it on here if I
wanted. Yeah, we don't want to go there again. The speed metal one we did. Cookie Monster Rock. That one.
Cookie Monster Rock. Oh, that's it. I remember that. Yeah.
As you type away.
Yeah, there was some information about Nintendo games on there.
Okay.
What was the first one? There was Life Force. There was Gradius. That's right. And then Gradius 3. I wish they'd come out with an updated version of those games. I love them. Side-scrolling.
I was never big into Nintendo games. I was a PlayStation person myself.
Well, that's because you suck, Alan.
It was the game. It was the system that I bought.
An Xbox. Xbox guy.
$1,000 worth of games that I got with it.
Oh, well, that's nice.
You collect them, and all of a sudden you realize when you have an 8-foot thing of CDs full of them, they're like, damn, I've spent a whole lot of money on these games.
I still have some old Nintendo, actually television games.
Oh.
And Atari 2600 games laying around.
Yeah, the 2600 I've got up in my parents' attic somewhere. I didn't let them throw. I had actually one from a 2600 console from Lebanon as well that I heisted off my ex-brother-in-law on it, which is basically the same one, with the exception of the when you first plugged in, everything's in it is in Arabic, but that's somewhere up in the attic as well. But on to the real show now. How did you have the warm-up?
So your game consoles are in the attic and you're still in the closet.
Yeah, well.
If we hear any more complaints about that song we just played, we'll play it a third time. See how you like it. Let me change.
Put it on the background below the microphones here.
I was thinking about that. Oh, yeah, Bionic Commando.
All right.
Yeah, Master Blaster. I love that game, too. Fun stuff. The old games. All right. Where were we, Alan?
You were going to talk about the things you have on your screen there.
I don't have anything on my screen anymore. I already talked about that.
Okay.
No, I was going to talk about... Well, today, some of the stuff we're thankful for finally went live on the new Southern Lehigh website. If anybody's interested at checking it out. So, lehigh.k12.pa.us. We're still doing a lot of work on it. Trying to pretty it up. But yet, at the same time, we have to keep it kind of simple for accessibility. Disabled accessibility laws. So we're working through a lot of those issues.
Cool. What does that mean you have to work to? You got to make it all the text big or something?
I'm
not familiar with it.
Accessibility requires that blind people, would be able to use a reading device.
Okay.
A speech device that would basically say your website.
Not like that website I showed you out before the show. Or
no, not like that at all.
A little more to the left.
Not at all. No, you have to be really careful, because if you use JavaScript, if you build your tables, if you use tables, you got to be really careful with the tables. Any kind of flash animation, you got to be really careful with. And you have to make sure you can follow strict code rules. Otherwise, it gets all messed up for those people with screen readers.
No. So you run it through a screen reader before you put it on there, or do you have that?
Hell no. I don't have a screen reader. They cost too much money.
You know,
what I try to do is, if you go to the HTML validators, the W3C, and the CSS validators, and XHTML validators... if your code is pretty much succeeds in the validation process, you're a good deal of the way there meant for accessibility.
Okay.
And then you just there's online accessibility testers, which I haven't gotten to the opportunity of using yet. But such is the case. We definitely want to get a lot of content, dynamic content, which is going to make it more difficult for accessibility.
Okay.
We have to be careful with publishing student pictures and stuff on the web. We have to get permission. We had to strip off a lot of images from the site right now until we get the permission, and we'll put those back, which gives a person or the people in the community a reason to keep coming back to the site to see all the new stuff we added.
To see all the new pictures.
Yeah, we're going to, each teacher's going to have their own web page, and hopefully that'll spice up stuff. But that's that.
Cool.
It's been a lot of fun working on that. Now, oh man, somebody's running my pages through a validator now. Terrible. I got some validation issues, I know. Working on it. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh.
You talk about your camera.
I'll get to that.
All right, well.
We have...
You're all excited, that's why. Make sure I reminded you about it.
Last week, I had mentioned about network issues on our network at work. Some slowdowns, particularly with Windows. And I was just thinking about that today. I'm so thankful that at work now, and even at home, that I have really reduced my usage of Microsoft software and operating systems incredibly. I use my G4 at work extensively. I'm one of the key people in administering the Macs in the district.
Okay.
I run a Linux box, an OS X server, and a couple other Novell servers at work. And it's kind of sweet that I don't have to use Microsoft too often, because every time I sit down on a damn Microsoft machine, it's just so horrible. We had to update tablets, Microsoft tablet PCs, yesterday.
Oh, you've got those in the district?
Tablet? We have about 20 of them. And they wanted to take the tablets out, teachers or students be able to sign them out and use them at home. But we have to go through that whole rigmarole, whereas we're on a Novell network, so we have to set it so you can either log in through the Novell client or through Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Windows, we don't run a Windows domain or anything, so they have to have some kind of account they can log into in Windows. So we set them up with the guest account.
Mm-hmm.
But by default, the guest account is disabled, so you got to go in there and re-enable the guest account, give it a password, and then guest won't be able to run Office because you have to.
Why would that?
If you install, there's the way that we installed Office is you log in as administrator, you install Office, and then you're good to go. Because we do the auto admin login with Novell, and then we restrict their systems through policies,
okay,
and policy management through ZenWorks. But anyway, what happens if you don't log in as the administrator and you try and run Office under any other account? It wants to run the setup. Well, you can't run the setup unless I think you're a power user or higher.
Unless you're a minister.
Right. And you need to have the CDs, which means that you can't run it. So what you have to do is you have to go in there and copy over, like, the documents in the documents and settings folders for the administrator. There's application, the MT user DAT file, and a couple other things over into the default user folder, so that when you use another account that doesn't exist on this, well, you just create it and log in there for the first time, it pulls all the basic stuff out of the default user, then they can use it. But we found out it wasn't working for the guest account until we deleted the entire guest account's contents in their home directory and then re-logged in. So it's little happy, crappy things like that.
It sounds like a pain in the butt.
It is a pain in the butt. Now, these tablets don't have any removable storage device. The only thing you have is a CD-ROM drive. so they can't save their information. We don't want to save it on the desktop because of the insecurity and the ever-present problem of these machines killing themselves through corruption. We have Go Back on installed, so when it reboots or they log off, it automatically reverts the machine.
Okay.
So they wouldn't be able to save their information onto the hard drive.
So then we had to go. They had to leave it on until they get back to school.
Well, no, we solved that problem, and I don't want to say we solved that problem because Jeremy, who I brought up before, solved the problem. He said, "Why don't we just get USB pen drives?" Hence the reason why I have a USB pen drive now. So we got 10 USB pen drives. So if somebody checks out these tablets to take home and work, they can take a USB pen drive. You know, put their work on that.
That's the new floppy.
The new floppy, and then when they get back, they connect to the network, they can transfer their stuff to their home directory. Hmm. Yep.
Pen drives, I like this. I use those a lot if you've had the Nopix CD in there. You keep your home account on it. Just pop it in. That's cool.
I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to definitely. It
doesn't take up much space then. You can actually use the pen. You can still use a pen drive for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you want to transfer files back and forth, you know, from another Linux system, you still can do that. It keeps everything in just one, you know, whatever size file that you decide to tell it. Excuse me.
And a pretty cool device.
I think I have like a 10 meg setup little setup file for it. And it's great. You don't have to worry about anything. You go right back in. You keep your bookmarks. Everything's right there.
Awesome. It's cool. And then crash. Wait, how do you boot Nopix up and tell it to use that as your home drive?
You have to hit F2 when it boots up.
And?
And then you type in the... I haven't done it in a couple weeks. There's a line on there that'll tell you what to do. I think it's... you tell it to Nopix and then /dev/st something on it. And then it'll automatically go and find the pen drive for you and get all the information off of it. Like I said, I haven't done it in a couple of weeks. I haven't booted Nopix in a while. So I'm trying to remember what the command was I put on there, and I don't remember off the top of my head. And I have to fire up Nopix, which...
Another reason to love Nopix and Debian.
And Debian, yes.
And Debian.
We should have to do a segment one day on the Nopix CDs.
There we go. Because it's such a phenomenal product. Alan... I've joined the 21st century with digital video and digital video editing.
This is good. I did see the camera set up.
Okay, the camera set up.
Ready to go.
Yep. I didn't buy it, but work bought me for my use for streaming to get some video to stream a Canon ZR70 digital camcorder. Nice, sweet camcorder recommended by our media specialist. And the first thing I did, of course, is I brought
media
it right home.
That means he gets to like sit around and listen to music all day or something.
He does the audio video kind of stuff.
He's the head AV geek.
Yeah, head AV geek.
Doesn't have to push the cart around with a VCR on it anymore.
Now again, we got the Debian, Slackware, Link, Mellophone, and I thought they found some common ground with their choice of editor, but I guess that common ground has eroded just as rapidly as it was formed. Anyway, I got the digital camera, and I came home, and I grabbed Kino. Now, Kino on Slackware 9.1, here's the problem. Kino is developed for GNOME 1.4. Slackware has moved on to GNOME 2. So you don't have the GNOME 1.4 libraries. And it was really difficult to try and get it to compile. But having read a person who installed New Cache, the latest version of New Cache on Slackware, created a package for it, and he also... New Cache is also 1.4, GNOME 1.4 application. He had a write-up about how you can get it installed and get it to run. You need to pull some files off of the older Slackware distributions, and they don't interfere with one another. So basically, I followed that kind of template with grabbing the old GNOME libraries and the imlib and a couple other things. And I still had a problem compiling Kino, so I just you know, threw cautions to wind and grabbed the Mandrake RPM and converted that into a Slackware package, threw it up, and that was good to go. Well, Kino was running. Everything was happy. But I couldn't get it to connect.
These evil butts had
yeah,
to go.
The evil butts.
You were going too good there for a while.
Yeah. I kind of figured I'm going to need a FireWire card for the computer, but there was a possibility of maybe getting the USB to work because there's a jog shuttle through USB. I'm not exactly sure what that was, and the documentation wasn't too clear. So I tried it, and it wasn't working out. So I got myself a FireWire card today. The wife doesn't know. No, I got a FireWire card.
That's why you were hiding the box earlier.
Yeah, it was $20 bucks or something like that. It was really cheap card at Best Buy. I picked it up and slapped that in there, and within 5 minutes I had it up and running. And that includes, you know, booting up. And I was connecting through Kino, and I pulled some video off of there, which I was like, yay, great. I didn't get a chance to do any editing because I had to leave and go back to work. It was terrible driving out there today. And
traffic was terrible all afternoon.
It was horrible. I was on 22 around 4 o'clock to 4:15, and it was just piling up. So I chose the back roads. But going to Best Buy is so horrible.
I can never understand how they have the second exit, which is way out in the back parking lot. If you go down in the back, there's an exit that goes around, but it doesn't help you at all to get back onto MacArthur Road.
Where does that exit go?
It goes down, and when you come out, it's just after the light. There's a street there. I think it's actually the street that there's like the Halloween store was on. In the back there. It comes out right there. But that's the same type of situation as you're getting out of Best Buy. You're only 100 feet closer down the road. You still have to get out in the middle of traffic. So it doesn't really help you all that much, which is probably why all those all the tire tracks and the driving over the lawn on the one side of Best Buy is.
Yeah.
it's the easiest way to get out of there is just to drive over the curb and out.
It's terrible. Patrick, the FireWire card, I'm sorry, was about 30-some bucks. They were pretty cheap. Yeah, no matter what exit you take out of Best Buy, it's still
ugly.
And you
really can only go there like on Monday nights is when there's not a lot of traffic there.
Yeah.
Although now with the holidays coming up, it's going to be pretty much hell until like after New Year's.
Yeah, you don't want to go there at all.
I got stuck there day after New Year's last or year before last. We bought a TV. It took me 45 minutes to get from the parking space to by the entrance to get back out again.
That's terrible. MacArthur Road's a mess. They should have designed that whole area a little better.
Well, I think when, 50 years ago when it was designed, it was really good. But that was before a mall on every corner. So you haven't had anything to do. You haven't done any editing with it yet. You've just got it on there.
I just got it yesterday.
Well, I don't know when you got it. I just got here today. But, so are you having the problems with, the jittery video and stuff and not the mouth not the voice not meeting up with the what's on the video, or haven't played back anything?
No, basically, I only messed around with it for a quick capture, and it played back fine.
Oh, that's good.
It was really short. It was off the card, because I can't find the digital tape that I brought with it, and that was a source.
somewhere down on the floor here somewhere.
Yeah, the kids trashed my room the past 2 days. Not that I haven't done a good job trashing it myself, but somewhere in here is a digital videotape.
I know I have a FireWire connection on the laptop. I have no clue whether it works, because I have nothing that uses it. So,
dude, we should try and plug the camera in there.
We could try that, yeah. You do have the raw 1394 device, right?
I don't know, do you?
I don't know.
You're running Red Hat, right?
Yeah.
It might already be on there.
It's possible. I do see stuff when you scroll by if you do DMessage, but I said I have no clue whether or not I have any applications on here which you even use it.
LS Mod. Tell you all your modules on there.
No. I'll fire it up and see.
You fire it up and see. Forget it. Yeah. You let the screensaver come on. You're not going to.
Screensaver go on.
You're not going
to
do anything there. Can't count on you for anything, Alan.
Yeah. I try.
But I'm excited about giving it a workout over there. I'm just worried about how much disk drive space it's going to chew up when I start playing with these things.
Yeah, when you start doing your 30-minute movies.
Yeah, 30 minutes. Yeah. And I'll be streaming video
the life
then.
Of Dan.
Yeah, the life
a day
of,
in the life of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do.
And then
a
I guess
day in the life of the lug.
Eventually it's going to be rolling towards DVD burning.
Really
huh?
I said, although that may not be really interesting. I don't
know. Yeah, but you know, the only thing that's different about a lug meeting and the tech show is you actually see us there talking.
Well, so, you know, if you get the other DSL connection, you can like start streaming us. We can have streaming video as well. And beat the BC lug to it. There we go.
Rawr, yeah. What else, Alan?
I'm pretty much out right now. I'm pretty much out of things.
Well, maybe we should close it up for tonight.
Probably should.
Wow, that's terrible. We're closing 20 minutes earlier than usual.
Well, we've got 6 minutes to go if you really want to hold it to.
Well, we could. Now, Patrick's having a problem. And Patrick's on the IRC. He's having a problem with the IEEE 1394 subsystem not being loaded. Now, I got that message, too. And what I had to do to get past that, hold on, I'm going to tell him exactly what I had to do. What did I have to do?
I have no clue.
All right. What I did was, you need to make sure you have the, what is it? There's a device file. You need to make sure you have the device RAW1395 file there. And once you have that, you should be able to mod probe in your RAW 1394 or the OHCI 1394, whatever your device driver is, your module is for your your FireWire card. And you're going to want the RAW 1394, DV 1394, and Video 1394. If that should alleviate the message that you get about the DVD or the IEEE 1394 subsystem not being loaded. Now, another thing that I noticed, what I had to be careful of, is before you go into capture, you have to turn your camera on and get it ready for capturing, because it got a little quirky where I go to capture, I turn on the camera, and it would do some funky stuff and not really work properly. But once I turned the camera on before I went into the capture part, and I went into preferences, I saw the camera was right there. It detected the camera. It said exactly what module it was. Well, Patrick's saying he compiled all three into his kernel, not as modules. That proves to be a different problem then.
Yes.
Yeah, since LSMod. Now, Patrick, did you... You compiled RAW 1394, DV 1394, and Video 1394 into your kernel. And I take it that that's what you say, in addition to your IEEE 1394 device module, if I'm not mistaken. Then, again, I ask, you do have the RAW 1394 device and the proper permissions to access the device and the user account that you're using. And Patrick said he read the docs. And I say, I take it, Patrick, your IEEE 1394 FireWire card is compatible with Linux. I think. I would assume so. So, what could be the problem? I actually, 755, I just threw caution to the wind, Patrick, and I set the device to 777 because security be damned. I just wanted to get digital editing going.
This is part of your living on the edge.
Me living on the edge, yes. 755 would it work? I'm not sure. Do you need right access to the device? Probably not. Would you need the right access to the digital camcorder? IEEE 1394 device.
I think you'd only need right access to it if you were saving stuff back to it.
Yeah. So I think 755 should do it. And in your preferences, just so we're all on the same page, the preferences for Kino are pointing to the right device driver in addition to the device module, in addition to the correct device on the system, which should be Dev Raw 1394 or whatever actual device you're using. Because there's another one that you could choose to DV. I think it's DV 1394. But there's some things to check out. Now, I'll hang around on the chat line. You know, maybe we could get something going there, Pat, because I know you want to begin the video editing. It is now 9 o'clock, and we could probably check out of here.
Not 9 o'clock, it's 10.
Oh, yeah, 10 o'clock.
Dan still has not set the clock on the laptop.
No, it's right, but I was just looking at the minutes, not the hours. I'm still an hour behind. Anyway...
Do we have another clue?
For those of you who aren't reading the chat, yeah, we'll have to give another clue. Well, say, Alan, based upon the other three clues, anybody who does Linux or even Unix system administration should be able to figure it out, putting all three clues together. And that's the clue I'm giving, system administration. Just think about that. And follow the clues, think about that, and remember, email it, the answer to the tech show at thelinuxlink.net, and you could be set up with a Slackware 9.1 system for your entertainment. But there's a clue. And that's it for tonight, Alan.
I think for not having anything, a few dead spots, we think we did rather well.
Oh, I know what I can add. For you Slackware users out there, Link, probably the only one on the...
Link's the only one on the IRC for this one.
If you're keeping up with Slackware current and you're running GIMP 1.3, 1.3 2 or 3 was just released. Swaret will update it for you. The 1.3.2.1, the previous release, there was a glitch in the... select by, was it color, or select common objects, where you could actually click on something and it would select basically around that object.
Okay.
No, it was the scissors, scissors.
Fuzzy scissors, I think.
The fuzzy scissors type select, that if you would select by clicking the middle like you're supposed to get that selection, the selection wouldn't work. But that's fixed now in the newest Slackware package. So, yeah. And that's what I used to create the Army of Dan picture.
The Army of Dan.
I used that pretty heavily, that tool. That was exciting. And I did actually a path to create the tongue on there.
Ooh, cool.
Wow, yeah. Fun, fun, fun.
Fun, fun, fun.
Fun, 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 till my wife takes my computers away.
But remember also, you got to participate, people. That's in our GIMP drawing here.
Yes, definitely.
GIMP blog war, I guess you want to call it. I don't know.
Blog wars.
The blog wars. Even if you don't have one, well, just send us your picture, and we'll, I guess, come up with a page for user or listener submissions. How's that?
There we go. Well, that's about it for tonight.
Okay.
Link will be back next week.
And
look forward to that.
And we hopefully will actually prepare and give you a better song that's not in Nintendo.
Yeah. We're thankful for you joining us and all those people in the United States. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Have a safe and enjoyable holiday. And, Alan, we're going to sign off with our usual tech show theme song,
tech
ruined
show
by me. Hopefully it'll play right off the bat and not crash the system.
But at least it crashed. When it did crash, it crashed at the right time.
Yes, it did, at the end. We haven't had any glitches this show, which is great. But I should be knocking on the backyard bra table right now. But definitely check out our blogs. Keep on Linuxing or teching, however you want to do it. And we'll talk to you next week. This is the final show for November.
All right.
Closing our second month of broadcast into our third month and the last three or four shows of the year. Thanks a lot, and have a good one.
Have a good one.
Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.